Welcome back, everyone, to this 11th episode of the Chattanooga Locavore Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Schuster of White Ivy Farm, and I'm joined here by a very special guest.
I live here.
And she lives here. It's my wife, Sarah. How you doing, Sarah?
Pretty good.
Sarah's joining me today, and we're going to talk about our experiences with farmers markets this week. There were a lot of farmers markets that opened. Chattanooga Market, Sunday Market, Trenton Market, and then Mentone opened on Wednesdays, and also the Ottawa Market. And I was there. I recorded a little bit there. I recorded some farmers talking about their farms, and I'll play that a little bit later. First of all, how are you doing? I mean, I haven't seen you in so long. It's been like, you know, like 10 seconds.
Things have really been going well in the past 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's cool. So how's it been not sleeping at night with a baby and another baby?
That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, mine too. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the farmers markets. Let's start out with Trenton, because I was not at Trenton, and you went on opening day. And how would you say that was compared to the way it was last year during any normal Saturday?
Well, there weren't many people that knew about it in the Trenton area to show up and visit and buy things and see the farmers market, but they did manage to have live music from the Dade County Boys. That was nice. There weren't as many vendors. A lot of people don't have all of their crops and produce things ready yet.
Yeah, I think that was kind of an issue with a lot of these farmers markets, because, you know, we've had really cold weather and we've had a lot of rain, a lot of mud out there. That's you know, our problem right now is we can't do a lot out there yet. I noticed that at the other farmers markets too. Even, you know, Chattanooga Market has a lot of the bigger farms, so a lot of them have, you know, giant greenhouses and they can grow in more, you know, controlled environments. At the Ottawa Farmers Market, it was like that too. A lot of one person, I think one or two people had produce, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't in abundance, so they only had a little bit and they sold out pretty quickly. But so let's talk a little bit about the Chattanooga Market, because that's the big one. You know, that's the one that, you know, I even talked about this before. They had the Chattanooga Symphony Orchestra was there. If you've ever been to the market years and years ago, you know that, you know, it's in the First Tennessee Pavilion, and it was always contained in the First Tennessee Pavilion. But in the last few years, it's been spilling out. It's, you know, it kind of started going outside a little bit. Now it's across the street. They block off the street now, and it's in the street. It's on the sides. I mean, it's amazing how big it's growing, but it kind of makes you wonder where they're going to go from here. I mean, they to get into the market, they have some pretty strict regulations. You have to have insurance, and you have to have all these, you have to go through an application process. And it seems like that's a good way to weed a lot of people out, but still, there are a lot of vendors there. Now, if you were, you know, like someone who just went to the market for the first time, what would you think about the Chattanooga Market?
I would think it was too congested.
As far as the vendors or the people there?
There are a lot of people visiting the market, and it's just very congested.
So you don't sound happy about that?
I don't like that part of the Chattanooga market, but they have a lot of great vendors. It's just very congested.
Yeah, and I think last year it was more congested because they weren't out on the street as much, and especially in the eating area. You know, you would go there and it would be, I don't know, there'd be, you know, you could buy food, you stand in line to buy food, and then there's nowhere to sit. And, you know, now they've expanded that, which is good. They took all the food places, the food trucks and the, you know, the little vendor, food vendors, and they've put them outside. So that's better, I think. I just hope, I wonder where they're going to go from here. You know, there's that giant, that abandoned, 10-story building next door. I wonder if they're going to buy that and renovate it. But I don't know. I think I had a good time generally. We brought all the kids there, and you know, they always have fun. And I don't know. It's kind of cool. It's different. You know, if you go to the Chattanooga Sunday Market and then you go to other markets and you expect the same thing, you're probably not going to find it. You know, the Chattanooga Market has all types of vendors, especially, you know, craft vendors and food vendors. And right now, during this time of the season, they don't have a lot of vegetables and produce. It's overwhelmingly, you know, the majority is crafts, and that's not a bad thing, of course. But if you go to other farmers markets, the smaller ones in the area, you're going to find a lot more just, pickup trucks backed up to a table with, the food right there in baskets, and you just buy straight from the farmer like that. And there's no, the Sunday market is a lot more formal, I think. And again, it's not to say it's a bad thing either way. It's just one of those things where, it's up to how you, what your preference is, and what type of farmer's market you want to see. And actually, as a little spoiler, I guess, the next article I'm writing for Nuga.com is kind of a guide to farmers markets, talking about, what you can expect, the questions you should ask, what's important to you, like, if they inspect the farms for, to see if they're, to verify the farms, make sure that they actually grow the food. Some market managers do that. So that's what this article is going to be all about, and also some helpful tips on what to do to spend your day at a farmer's market, what's going to help you out the most. So if you're new to farmer's markets, that might be something you can look at and read. And that will be coming out next Saturday, I think, next weekend. So definitely exciting. So that was the Trenton and Chattanooga farmers markets. The Ooltewah farmers market was also a lot of fun. But the Brainerd farmers market is opening tomorrow for the first time. That will be from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And I'll put a link in the show notes where you can check out. They have a really nice detailed page with pictures of all the vendors and what they're selling, and even some recipes on there. It's a really great way of doing things. And with the Ooltewah Farmers Market that I went to yesterday for their opening day, it was exciting. It was a lot more people than I ever thought would have been there. I figured, a couple hundred at the most, like total. But after about 35 minutes, I asked the market manager about it, and she said, "Yeah, they're just closing in on 500 people already." So I mean, that was pretty incredible. There were lots of excited people. I mean, there was literally a line of people waiting, and there's a ribbon cutting by the mayor. I believe he's the mayor of Ooltewah, and he cut the ribbon, let people go in, and it was a madhouse, and people were selling out left and right. And I did some interviews with some of the farmers talking about who they are and what they expect from the farmers market, and if it exceeded their expectations. So I'm going to go ahead and play that right now. All right, go ahead and introduce yourself and the name of your farm.
My name is Bill, and my wife is Becky, and our farm is Dixie Doe's Alpines, and our soap business is Dixie Soaps. And we have a variety of goat milk soap. We raise the goats ourselves and use the goat milk in the soap, and the goat milk is very good for your skin. It's got a lot of good nutrients in it, and it's soothing as well. We've got a lot of different scents and varieties of soaps available. We also have chickens, and we have chicken eggs, and we have lip balms, we have laundry soap, we have some lotions, and we have a variety of herbs as well.
What do you think about the Ooltewah Farmers Market so far?
So far, it's looking quite busy here, and we're enjoying our time here. We've sold quite a few things already, and we're encouraged by that. So,
great. Do you think that this was something that has needed to be here for a while?
Well, we're from Dayton, and so no comment on that, but I'm glad to have it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, very well, thank you.
I am Linda Swift. I'm from Al Hollow Farm. Today we have a lot of herbs, Swiss chard, onions, lettuce, and mustard greens. And I also got some birdhouses and a few flowers. It's early in the season, so...
So what do you think about the Ooltewah Farmers Market so far?
We have needed a farmers market in Ooltewah for many years. I'm thrilled that they've taken this on, and they seem to be doing a really good job.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, we're 30 minutes in, and it's pretty busy, wouldn't you say?
It is. Yeah, they've done a lot to promote it, so I'm looking forward to a good season.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Ron Schaefer. I'm at Red Clay Farm. About a mile from the Red Clay Park in South Tennessee, Bradley County, and we have produce that we use sustainable methods. It would be organic, but we're not certified organic. We also have some fiber animals, llamas, alpacas, Jacob sheep, and Angora goats, so we do the fiber, and my wife also grows lavender, so we make some lavender oil and stuff with that also. So that's kind of a real quick synopsis of what we have at the farm.
What do you think about the Ooltewah Farmers Market so far?
It's been great. There's been a lot more people than I expected. And So first day's been good. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of vegetables yet this season, but it's all gone.
And it looks like you sold out of your vegetables pretty quickly, right?
They did. They did. Probably first, well, it's only been a half hour, so probably at first 15 minutes, they were all gone.
And do you think that this is something that has needed to be in this area for a while?
I do, because other than possibly going up to Cleveland, I know the Chattanooga market downtown, but that's only Sundays. And Ringgold, I'm not really aware of one in this area, so it looks like there's been a demand for it.
All right. Thank you very much.
And finally, I was able to sit down with Faith Sharp, who has been on this show before, and we talked a little bit about the numbers of the Ooltewah Farmers Market. How many people, how many vendors were set up, how many we can expect later, and all those good things.
So how many vendors are here today?
We have 10 here today.
Okay, and how many do you expect? Do you expect more than this, or?
We have 12 that have been vetted into the process, and a 13th one that I just received the application for today.
Okay, great. What about the expectations? Has this exceeded your expectations as far as the amount of people that are here?
We expected a large crowd, and we were a little cautious about our vendors and what they would have this early in the spring, but we've been very pleased.
Is this going to be a year-round, or how long is this going to be?
The hours are each Thursday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. This will be throughout the growing season. Right now we're extending it as far into the fall as the producers will allow, and then we'll evaluate whether or not we're going to go out through the winter with more winter cool crops at that point.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, so now I wanted to talk a little bit about what we've been doing on the farm here at White Ivy Farm. And since Sarah's here, and I talked about this, I think, on episode 1 or 2, that I wanted to get her on here, and we could talk a little bit about that. And she's patiently waiting over there, reading her email and Facebook, I think, right?
Pinterest.
Oh, Pinterest, right. So, yeah, we've had a pretty exciting week. I mean, the weather just started getting warmer, and we ordered turkeys. We have some red bourbon turkeys, which I'm very excited about because we've never raised them before. We raise geese and chickens, and I enjoy both of them. Sarah doesn't enjoy the geese, though, I have to.
No, I don't at all. The geese are terrible animals.
They're interesting because they're the type of animals that they're guard animals, you know. So they make a lot of noise when anything goes near them, including the people who you know, who feed them and take care of them. But they go a little nuts, and they're good alarm system essentially. But they, let's say, excrete everywhere. It's everywhere. It's on everything.
And, it really is.
And but they lay these huge, nice eggs, and we've been selling them at the Mentone Farmers Market and at Trenton Farmers Market too. And people love them. We didn't. It's funny because we didn't even expect that. Like, we had so many of these things a couple months ago, and we were like, "What are we going to do with all these?" Because we put them in baskets in our refrigerator, and then we would use them, like we use them to bake with, and we, you know, scramble them and things like that. And it got to the point where we had some of them that were sitting in our refrigerator for so long. I don't like to keep things in there for too long. And I actually threw some out to the other animals to eat, a whole basket of them, because I was like, I don't know what we're going to do with all these. And it's funny because then they stopped laying, and then we took some to the market, and people loved them. They bought them all up, and then the geese stopped laying. It's like they knew, you know?
I was not expecting anyone to like them so much, and I've had people ask me at the farmer's market, do you have more goose eggs? No, I don't. Sorry.
Yeah. So we need to get them on the ball. We need to get them laying again. I don't know how to do that. But so yeah, we have the geese and we have the turkeys, which I'm very excited about. We'll probably do the same thing with the turkeys as I do with the chickens, which is incubate and you know, keep producing more and kind of play with, and it sounds strange, like a mad scientist, but I like to play with the breeds a little bit and try to get, you know, certain beneficial factors from each one, you know, genetics, and have them breed, and then you know, and then have, because right now we have, you know, we have a lot of chickens that are like, we have Rhode Island Reds, which are great layers, and they're also nice dual purpose birds because they get nice and fat. But we mated them with Americana roosters, so the Americanas have like these beards. They look like they stick out. So now we have these bearded Rhode Island Red. We should call them like Red Beards or something like that.
That's a great idea, Red Beards.
Yeah, I'll patent that. I'm sure nobody's ever done that before, right?
Redbeard's TM White Ivy Farm R.
So what else have we been up to? Oh, speaking of incubating, we just put 41 new eggs in our incubator. So hopefully we'll have more bearded, Redbeard chickens.
TM.
And also, you know, what's funny is we have these featherfoot, they're called featherfoot chickens, and they have feathers on their feet. I know you wouldn't be able to guess that from the name, but we're excited about trying to keep that lineage going. Try to get some red-bearded, feather-footed, I don't know what we would call those.
I don't know. You got me there. Bearded feather-foot, feather-beards.
Feather-beards. I don't know. That might take off. You have to say TM after that now every time, too.
Feather-beards, TM, registered, trademark.
So yeah, we've been doing that. We also had some baby goats. I think I mentioned a couple episodes back, we had some baby goats that were born. And they were both boys, both males, which is not the greatest thing in the world because, you know, they can't produce milk or anything. And also they fight. When they get older, they fight. We don't want that to happen.
But the fighting is very adorable when they're babies. Very, very cute.
That's true. It's a lot of jumping over each other and, you know, kind of not really butting heads, kind of like pressing heads against each other.
It's like that they're doing skateboard tricks without a skateboard. That's what it looks like.
Exactly, yeah. I think all the baby goats do that, which is the most amazing thing ever. Especially in our backyard, we have lots of rocky outcroppings. I just like to say that. And there are a lot of giant rocks sticking out of the ground, and they like to jump up on there and then jump off like they're doing a little, like you said, a skateboard trick. Kind of funny. But we had to sell them. I mean, after all this, you know, gleeful reminiscing, I have to say we had to sell them. But the people who bought them, they say that what they do is they buy like baby goats like this that are still able to be bottle fed, and they train them to be, you know, good around humans, and then they resell them as pets. So they'll go to a good home, it sounds like. And we have a lot of goats, but all of our goats are pygmy goats, so they're very tiny. I don't think I've mentioned that, but it makes the adorable factor go up quite a bit, wouldn't you say?
Baby pygmy goats are smaller than a chicken. They're so cute.
That's true. And it's so funny watching them with the chickens. I took a video of that, and they just look at the chickens like, who are you? What are you? I don't know you, but you're bearded and you're red, so you're awesome. TM.
Yeah, TM.
Okay, so what else? Is there anything else exciting going on the farm? Exciting to you? What about the soap?
Oh yeah, I just made soap yesterday. I made green tea and eucalyptus soap. That's what it was.
We're still trying to think of a name for that one.
Yeah.
So any suggestions?
Eats shoots and leaves, or what was the other one? All clear?
Yeah, because eucalyptus will clear out your sinuses.
Natural decongestant.
But what we're trying to be a little funny, I guess, with the names of our soaps. Like, we have one that's cinnamon, and it has oatmeal in it, so it looks like buttered toast, kind of. And it smells like cinnamon, so it smells like French toast, so we named it French toast. And then we have an unscented one we call Plain Jane. And then we have mint mocha, which is peppermint, and chocolate... cocoa powder, right?
Yeah, cocoa powder.
Yeah, so it actually looks kind of purplish, which is weird, but it smells like mint, so we call it mint mocha. And then, dirty lemonade. That's my favorite. That's lemon and poppy seed. So it'll smell like lemon and look all dirty, so we're going to call it dirty lemonade.
I love that one.
And all of our soaps we use, you know, all natural ingredients, and we use essential oils for the scent. We don't use any kind of fragrances or dyes or anything like that. And we don't sell that. Well, we do sell it on Wednesdays at Mentone so far. But we are actually going to start selling at the Main Street Market, not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday probably. We wanted to wait until we got enough stuff. And we can't sell soap there. They won't allow crafts to be sold there. It's just a farm producer kind of a market. So we're going to sell eggs there, we're going to sell produce, and it's going to be good times.
I will have soap at the Trenton Farmers Market.
Yeah, on Saturdays. That's very true. So, yeah, we've been keeping pretty busy. And what's funny is right now, even to get to this point where you and I are sitting down recording, you know, both babies had to take a nap at the same time, which is, it's kind of like aligning the moon, the moons, you know, and it's a process. So this is going to be a short episode here while we wait for them to start crying again, right?
We could always have the kids on the show too. That'll make people tune in.
That's true. The oldest one at least has a language of her own, so maybe it'll appeal to aliens or something.
And linguists.
Yeah, they'll study her language, and maybe they'll be able to figure out what she's saying.
Probably.
All right. Well, we should cut this short. But let me know what you think about this format. I mean, this isn't something we can do all the time, but it's nice to just sit down and, you know, chat about the farm and what we've been up to this week and, you know, all that good stuff. Wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Yep.
All right. So if you want to get in contact with me or even Sarah, she'll you know, answer email too. You can email show@chattanoogalocavore.com. There's also our Twitter and Facebook pages, which are both linked on our show notes for the episode show notes for today. The theme song is Lampposts by Rigoletto. And they are a pretty popular Chattanooga band. They're kind of like one of those up-and-coming, you know, they have an album that just came out in April, which it's still April, so I don't know why I said that. And they're starting a tour next week on May 3rd, and they will be playing Nightfall at the end of the summer in August. So they're big stuff. Like I said, the name of that song is Lampposts. You can check them out from the link on our show notes for today if you like what you hear. So, again, I want to thank everyone for listening. We have, like I said, tomorrow's a Brainerd Farmers Market starting up from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., so check that out and support your local farmers. Go to these farmers markets and, you know, talk to the person growing your food. It's quite an experience if you haven't done it already. So I want to thank everyone again, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Say bye, Sarah.
Bye, Sarah.
You to wash away, you to wash away.